Okay, today we're going to continue our study of Georg Cantor's ideas about infinity. In what follows, we will consistently use some important and universally recognized terminology. An infinite set S is said to be countable if it has the same cardinality as the natural numbers. If an infinite set is not countable, that is, if it does not have a bijection with the natural numbers n, then it is said to be uncountable. Every infinite set is either countable or uncountable. One of our big jobs in this section of the book is to learn to recognize countable and uncountable sets. Let's look at some specific examples. Let E be the set of all even integers and O the set of all odd integers. Then the cardinality of E equals the cardinality of O. Indeed, the function f at j equals j plus 1 is a bijection from the even numbers to the odd numbers. If you take an even number and add 1 to it, you get an odd number, and every odd number has that form. Next example, let E be the set of even integers, then the cardinality of E equals the cardinality of all the integers. The function g of j equals j over 2 gives the bijection. Take any even integer, divide it by 2, and that gives you an integer. Conversely, given any integer, multiply it by 2, you get an even integer. So this function, g of j equals j over 2, is a one-to-one onto function from the even integers to all the integers. This last example is remarkable and surprising, for it shows that a set, namely Z, the integers, can be put in one-to-one correspondence with a proper subset, namely the even integers. In other words, Z has the same cardinality as a proper subset of itself. This phenomenon is impossible for finite sets because of the pigeonhole principle. Example, we have that the cardinality of the integers equal the cardinality of the natural numbers. Again, this is surprising because we think of the natural numbers as about half of the integers, yet the two sets have the same cardinality. And we'll see this by defining a function f from z to n, from the integers to the natural numbers, as follows. F of j is minus the quantity 2j plus 1 if j is negative. F of j is 2j plus 2 if j is positive or 0. The values that f takes on the negative integers are 1, 3, 5, and so on. The values that f takes on the positive integers are 4, 6, 8, and so on, and f of 0 equals 2. So f is 1 to 1 and onto from all the integers z to the natural numbers n. By putting together the preceding examples, we see that the set of even integers, the set of odd integers, and the set of all integers are all countable. So they all have the same cardinality as the natural numbers. Example, the set of all ordered pairs of positive integers, the set of all j, comma k, where j and k are natural numbers, is countable. To see this, we will use the Schroeder-Bernstein theorem. You don't have to do it this way, but this is an interesting way to do it. The function f of j is j, comma 1, is a one-to-one function from the natural numbers to s, which is s n cross n. The function g of j, k, is j times 10 to the j plus k is a function from s, the set of ordered pairs of natural numbers, to the natural numbers. If you let n be the number of digits in the number k, notice that g of jk is obtained by writing the digits of j followed by j plus k minus n zeros and followed by the digits of k. For instance, g of 23 comma 714 is 23 followed by 734 zeros followed by 714. It is clear that this G is 1 to 1, and by the Schroeder-Bernstein theorem, we now know that S, which is n cross n, and n have the same cardinality, hence S, n cross n, is countable. There are other ways to handle the last example, and these shall be explored in the exercises. Since there is a bijection F of the set of all integers with the set n, it follows from the last example that the set z cross z of all pairs of integers, positive and negative, is countable. Let f be the function from the example that showed that z is countable, then the map f cross f of x comma y equals f of x comma f of y is a bijection of z cross z to n cross n. Let h be the bijection provided by the last example from n cross n to n. Then h composed with f cross f is a bijection of z cross z to n. So z cross z is countable. Notice that the word countable is a good descriptive word. If S is a countable set, then we could think of S as having a first element S1, the one corresponding to 1 in the natural numbers, a second element S2, the one corresponding to 2 in the natural numbers, and so on. Thus, we write capital S, the countable set, as S1, S2, etc. A set S is called finite if it is either empty or else there is a bijection of S with a set of the form I sub n equals 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out to n for some positive integer n. If S is not empty and if no such bijection exists, then the set is called infinite. Remark, the empty set is a finite set, but not one of any particular interest. Nevertheless, we must account for it, so we include it explicitly in the definition of finite set. In some treatments, a different approach is taken to the concept of finite and infinite sets. In fact, one defines an infinite set to be one which can be put in one-to-one correspondence with a proper subset of itself. For instance, an earlier example shows that the set Z of all integers can be put in one-to-one correspondence with the set E of all even integers, and of course E is a proper subset of Z. By contrast, a finite set cannot be put into one-to-one correspondence with a proper subset of itself. And this last assertion amounts to verifying that I sub k cannot be put into one-to-one correspondence with I sub n when n is less than k. But any function f from I k to I n would be sending k letters to n mailboxes, and by the pigeonhole principle, two letters would have to land in the same box, so the function cannot be one-to-one. So I k and I n do not have the same cardinality. An important property of the natural numbers n is that any subset S in n has the least element. See the discussion in an earlier lecture and also later on. This is known as the well-ordering principle and is studied in detail in a course on logic. In the present chapter, we take the property of the natural numbers as given, but our later treatment of the natural numbers will provide some details about why it's true. We use some of these properties in the next proposition. If S is a countable set and R is a subset of S, then R is either empty or R is finite or R is countable. So a subset of a countable set is either empty or finite or countable. Proof. Assume that R is not empty. Write S equals S1, S2, S3, and so on. Let J1 be the least positive integer such that SJ1 is an R. Let J2 be the least integer following J1 so that SJ2 is an R. Continue in this fashion. If the process terminates at the nth step, then R is finite and has n elements. If the process does not terminate, then we obtain an enumeration of the elements of R. 1 corresponds to SJ1, 2 corresponds to SJ2, and so on. All elements of R are enumerated in this fashion since JL is bigger than or equal to L, therefore R is countable. A set is called countable if it is countably infinite, that is, if it could be put in one-to-one correspondence with the natural numbers n. A set is called denumerable if it is either empty or finite or countable. In actual practice, people are a little bit sloppy and they use the word countable and denumerable interchangeably, but technically speaking, they have different meanings as indicated right here. The set Q of all rational numbers consists of all expressions in the form A over B, where A and B are integers and B is not zero. Thus, Q can be identified with the set of all pairs A, B of integers. After discarding duplicates such as 2 over 4 equals 1/2, and using the earlier discussion of the effect that Z cross E is countable, we find that the set Q of rational numbers is countable. We shall deal with the rational number system in a much more precise manner in a later lecture. Theorem. Let S1 and S2 be countable sets, then S equals S1 union S2, then the set S is countable. Let us write S1 is equal to S1, 1, S lowercase 1, S subscript 1, superscript 1, S subscript 2, superscript 1, S3, S subscript 3, superscript 1, and so on. Write S2 is S subscript 1, superscript 2, S subscript 2, superscript 2. S subscript 3, superscript 2, and so on. If S1 and S2 are disjoint, then the function S sub J super K goes to J comma K as a bijection of S with a subset of the set of all J comma K where J and K are in the natural numbers. We proved earlier that the set of ordered pairs of elements of N is countable, and therefore S is countable as well. If there exists elements which are common to S1 and S2, then discard any duplicates, and the same argument shows that S is countable. Proposition. If S and T are each countable sets, then so is S cross T, which is the set of all S, T, where S is an S and T is a T. Proof. Since S is countable, there is a bijection F from S to the natural numbers. Likewise, Since T is countable, this is by ejection G from T to the natural numbers. Therefore, the function F cross G of S comma T is F of S comma G of T is a bijection of S cross T with N cross N. But we saw in an earlier example that N cross N is a countable set, and so is S cross T. Corollary, if S1, S2 through Sk are each countable sets, then so is the product S1 cross S2 cross S3 cross dot 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 cross Sk, which is a set of all ordered k tuples S1, S2, S3 through Sk, where S1 comes from capital S1, S2 comes from capital S2, and so on. Proof, we may think of S1 cross S2 cross S3 as S1 cross S2, that set, cross S3. Since S1 cross S2 is countable by the proposition, and S3 is countable, then so is S1 cross S2 cross S3. And we can continue in this fashion to see that the product of four countable sets is countable, or the product of five countable sets is countable, or the product of any finite number of countable sets is countable. Corollary, the countable union of countable sets is countable. Let A1, A2, and so on each be countable sets if the elements of AJ are enumerated as A super J sub K, and if the sets AJ are pairwise disjoint, then the correspondence AJK corresponds to J comma K is 1 to 1 between the union of the sets AJ and the countable set N cross N. This proves the result when the sets AJ have no common element. If some of the AJ have elements in common, then discard the duplicates and use the earlier argument. And that's the end of today's lesson.